This is your tech news briefing for Friday, September 2nd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. A first-of-its-kind case involving non-fungible tokens is set to test the boundaries of fraud law. A jury may get to decide if a former employee of an NFT marketplace engaged in insider trading. What could the case mean for potential future prosecutions related to digital assets? On today's show, Richard Vanderford from the WSJ's Risk and Compliance Journal joins us to discuss the case and the precedents it could set. That's after these headlines. The end is coming for typos on Twitter. The social media platform is finally adding an edit button. Twitter said yesterday it would be testing out the long-awaited feature in the coming weeks with a select group of users, including those who pay to subscribe to the company's Twitter Blue service. The preliminary version of the button will let testers edit posts a few times in the first 30 minutes after they're published, and the modified posts will be labeled with an edited icon. Microsoft's planned acquisition of Activision Blizzard could face more hurdles in the UK. The country's competition regulator said yesterday that the $75 billion deal could harm rivals and newcomers in the video game industry. It gave the companies 5 days to respond to its concerns, and if the watchdog isn't satisfied, the probe would enter a second phase, involving a panel of independent reviewers. Microsoft President Brad Smith said the company is ready to work with the regulator on the next steps and address any concerns. The crypto lending platform Celsius is asking a court for permission to let some users withdraw their digital assets. You might remember that Celsius is in the midst of a bankruptcy proceeding, and the company froze users' withdrawals in June, citing market volatility as the price of cryptos fell. Some customers have been unsure whether they will ever get their funds back after questions were raised over whether crypto assets deposited on platforms like Celsius belong to the platforms or to the depositors. Cruise is recalling some of its robo-taxis. The recall follows a crash in early June when one of Cruise's driverless cars was struck by an oncoming vehicle at an intersection, resulting in minor injuries. That's according to a filing published this week by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. NHTSA said the recalled vehicles run older software that, in some cases, might not correctly predict the direction of oncoming vehicles when making an unprotected left turn. Cruise, a unit of General Motors, says the recall covers 80 company-owned vehicles operating in San Francisco. And music publishers and songwriters will now get paid a bit more when their songs are played on streaming platforms. An association representing streaming services like Spotify and Apple has reached a deal with music publishers, including Universal and Sony, just days before a trial over the payments was set to start. Publishers will go from receiving 15.1% of music streamers' revenue to as much as 15.35%, phased in during the 5 years from next year. Our reporter Chelsea Delaney says the deal comes as other changes are sweeping the music industry.
So even though we haven't seen much of an increase in the amount that artists are getting through these streaming agreements, they are seeing more interest in their song catalogs and also seeing more interest in other sort of branding deals and social media, TikTok agreements, things like that.
To hear more from Chelsea, check out yesterday morning's edition of our sister podcast, What's News. All right, coming up, the first case over insider trading in NFTs probably won't determine whether the digital assets are securities. But could it open the door to other issues? We'll discuss after the break.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Prosecutors are calling it their first case targeting insider trading in non-fungible tokens. In June, Nathaniel Chastain, a former employee of the NFT marketplace OpenSea, was accused of benefiting from knowledge about whether the prices of some digital art would go up. It's a novel case, and one that could test the bounds of fraud law in the U.S. But some lawyers say it could set a dangerous precedent that goes beyond digital assets. Joining us to discuss this is Richard Vanderford from the WSJ's Risk and Compliance Journal. Hi, Richard. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So start with reminding us what happened with Nathaniel Chastain.
So Nathaniel Chastain was an employee of OpenSea, which is a very large NFT marketplace. He was a product manager, and one of his duties was to pick what NFTs for sale would be put on the front of the website, featured on the website. And so he obviously knew what was going to go on the website. And he's accused of using that knowledge to buy up these NFTs before they went on the website. They would go on the website, it would drive interest, and he would quickly sell them to make big profits, according to prosecutors.
And what has his legal team said about these charges?
He's pleaded not guilty. His legal team isn't talking on the record to reporters, but they've asked that the charges be dismissed.
He's been charged under this wire fraud statute and not under securities fraud. Why is that important in this case?
When most people think about insider trading, they think about insider trading in stocks, which is often charged under a securities fraud statute. Wire fraud is a really old law. It's very broad. It encompasses all kinds of what people would think of as crooked behavior. And prosecutors really like it because it's very adaptable to new kinds of scams. So this case is really a test of whether his conduct can be charged under this wire fraud law that is very broad.
What have opponents of this kind of case said? How do they feel about that kind of approach?
A group of prominent New York defense attorneys have said the prosecutors are going too far in using the wire fraud statute this way and potentially criminalizing a lot of normal workplace conduct or minor misconduct that maybe shouldn't be a crime. Under the legal theory being used by prosecutors here, the crime is really in taking the information from his employer and using it to make money. So these defense lawyers have come up with a bunch of scenarios that most people wouldn't think of as criminal, like if a company's headquarters were moving and an executive used that information to buy a house before the market heated up, or if someone wrote a tell-all book about their boss in defiance of a non-disclosure agreement. These defense lawyers are saying under the prosecutor's theory in this case, that kind of taking of confidential workplace information could be a crime, but it probably shouldn't be.
They've asked the judge to dismiss this case. Do we know when we're going to kind of get a reaction from the judge, what we expect to hear from him?
Yeah, so there'll be a whole bunch of hearings on whether to dismiss the case. That kind of remedy, dismissing a case before it goes to a jury, is really rare. Judges are really inclined to give prosecutors the benefit of the doubt and let their cases go before a jury. But that said, there's appeals courts in New York as well, and the appeals court could be more skeptical. But I think it could take months or years to fully unfold.
What has the prosecution said about why they're taking this tactic, kind of going wire fraud as opposed to securities fraud?
They haven't outlined their legal theory or their sort of tactical legal decision, but if you go under a wire fraud theory, you arguably don't have to prove that a security was involved. And there's a lot of uncertainty about whether digital assets like NFTs or cryptocurrency can be considered a security. A lot of differences of legal opinion about that. So under this theory, the crime is just that he allegedly took information from his workplace and used that to profit. And you don't have to get into a question of, well, is this a security or is this not a security?
I wonder, though, you know, this group of defense attorneys is saying it could set a precedent for workplace misconduct. Could it set a precedent for kind of how we think about digital assets and how crimes around digital assets are prosecuted?
Yeah, a win for the prosecutors here would be huge. It's the Manhattan federal prosecutors who brought this case, and they typically are very aggressive. And obviously, there's a lot of kind of digital asset work being centered in Manhattan and in New York. So if the prosecutors win, and an appeals court agrees with them especially, then this theory would be vindicated and assets that people might not have thought of as being an insider tradable asset will de facto be something you could insider trade in and violate the law in that way.
You know, NFTs were so popular last year. They were surging in value. Now that's not the case anymore. Will that in any way impact this trial?
I don't think prosecutors are going to walk away from a case like this because NFTs turn out to be sort of an irrelevant thing. I think once they start on a case, they want to win. And I think the prosecutors in Manhattan, they want to be seen policing these digital assets. They made a show of saying this is the first ever NFT insider trading case. They brought a case the month after this in cryptocurrency insider trading, and the relative popularity of NFTs isn't going to really change the way the trial goes.
All right, that's our reporter, Richard Vanderford. Thanks so much for joining us, Richard.
Thank you.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Before we go, a quick programming note. We'll be off this coming Monday for Labor Day, but we'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
The Wall Street Journal's biggest tech event is back in person. Join us October 24th through 26th for Tech Live at the Montage Laguna Beach. Overlooking the Pacific Coast, you'll have a chance to connect with investors, founders, and innovators ready for their next big venture. Welcome back to The Real Deal. Learn more at wsj.com/techlivepod.